Hallelujah. Okay. I love the Holy Ghost, you know, and I love when he says, okay, now we're going to do this, even though it's not in the workroom. So I'm going to share something I hadn't planned to share. As you may have noticed, I love the Word of God, and I think our encounters with the Holy Spirit should be confirmed by the Word of God, okay? Because sometimes people have encounters that are wacky, and they're, you know, you need to be tied to the Word of God because it's the plumb line of the temple. So, but having said that, my life has been very prophetic, meaning what that means is God is speaking into the earth, right? And if you think about, Abraham, I've only ever met one person that thought he had any writings to look at. There was no writings yet, right? Because who wrote the writings? His descendant. So he was prophetic. He was listening to God. He became the friend of God. So it's from that perspective that I'm speaking, is that I believe God has been saying this. I have a friend who is an intercessor, and she's very, very accurate. And she called me one day all excited. She said, Holly, I see these three keys God has for you. They're on this key ring. They're old-fashioned. They're kind of like those old iron skeleton keys, and they're three different sizes. And, you know, in my flesh, I kind of wanted to blow it off because I just have a lot of different things to pray about. And I was sitting with my sister like 2 or 3 days later at this restaurant, and I excused myself to go down the hall to use the washroom. And right before, when you come right at it, you're facing this wall, this wooden wall with this old iron key ring with these three iron skeleton keys that are three different sizes. And I thought, okay, I'm listening. Tell me what these keys are for. What are these keys for? And so I'm going to specifically tell you, when I sought the Lord about it, a few days later, when God speaks, it's not always right away, is it? But a few days later, I was kind of, I'll just say this way, taken into heaven, I'll say it that way. And I saw three barns. Now, this is part of my calling, and I'm going to tell you about one of the barns. When I went into this barn, it was so long I couldn't see the end of it. It seemed like miles long. And whenever there's a barn, now this may be a parable or it may be a real physical barn in heaven. I think it is, but we don't know. We won't know till we get there, a lot of things. But when I went in, it was the first thing I saw was mangers. Like you would imagine, now I grew up with horses, and for me, a manger, there was this big trough that you'd throw a lot of hay in, and then there was a smaller box just about the size of a baby that you'd put the grain in. Okay, and I would have called that a manger. So when they say he was a baby in a manger, that's kind of how I pictured it. Well, in this barn were all these babies in mangers. But then there were also kids, little kids, bigger kids, medium kids. And I said, Lord, who are these children? Now, let me back up. If you're prophetic at all, you may already know this. But just like Mary, now think about Mary, the Virgin Mary, she was called upon to bring something from heaven into earth. And she birthed it, right? God, that's a picture. It happened and it's real. But it's also a picture of us when God gives us something and he asks us to birth it. If you ever hang around with intercessors, they see a lot about birthing because what they're really doing is bringing something that God wants done in the earth, and they're bringing it into the earth either through prayer or through life or sometimes through personal sacrifice and sometimes all three. Well, I was very familiar with this, and I won't go into all that because that's a long story. But God said these are the babies that were never picked up. These are the children. They represent, this is a parable. These are like callings and anointings that belong to people, but they never brought it from heaven into earth. They may never have known about it, or they may never have believed it, or they just didn't do the work. And so I was like, well, that's wonderful. Why'd you give me a key? And he said, well, there will be times when I want you to release some of these. And I thought that was odd because I don't think I'm special in a certain way. But a young woman came up to me. Edgar and I used to be the head of the altar ministry at this one church. And a young woman came up to me, and she was probably 17. Now, I would have thought that it would have taken an evangelist to do this, and I am not an evangelist. I to do the work of an evangelist, but that's not my call. And I said to her, are you called to be an evangelist? She said, I am. And I said, oh, this is for you. Now, this doesn't usually happen, but I touched her belly, and she went poof, like flying, and received an impartation from heaven for her, we might say, baby, her calling, her unction. Now, I thought it was odd that God would use me, because in my mind, he would have used an evangelist to do that, or an apostle to do that. But I'm just saying, there are times when God will release something from heaven into earth for people. So I almost feel like if you don't have the courage to do this, if you're shy like I used to be, or still sometimes am, you may not want to do this, but I'm just going to say, if you're in here and you feel like specifically God has called you to be a teacher, either in the body or even, we could say, even in the school system, is there anyone in here that feels that? Look at it. And some of you already are and have been. Anybody else? I'm going to have you stand because I'm going to release something that is going to increase. I believe God is releasing teaching anointings, or some of you have been teaching for years. You'd be far better at it than me, but there's something of the anointing of heaven on it that he's releasing. So in the name of Jesus, right now, Father, we release that teaching unction into the people that are called to carry it. And I thank you that not only the anointed into it, not only the baby or the child that you're releasing, but your grace upon it, your hand upon them, even now as we speak, coming upon them in a new way that they will be able to teach prophetically by the power of the Spirit, that it won't just be intellectual, but I see a hand, your hand upon them, releasing into them the ability to connect with the Spirit on what they're teaching, how they're teaching, when they're teaching, and the power of it in the teaching, in Jesus' name. Oh, so thank you. You can sit down. This isn't part of the series, but we're just going there. Korahasheo te te sikiahai. Now, this is a strange one, but I heard serving. There's some people in here that you just love to serve. You just want to serve. You like being behind the scenes. You don't want to be in front. But you have a gift. You already have a gift and anointing to serve. If that's you, God wants to release an anointing to you. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. I thought it was you. And you, God bless. And if you want to stand to receive this, it is a very precious anointing, and by the way, no one in the body can function without those who serve. They are crucial, crucial. Father, I thank you for the anointing and the unction and the impartation that they won't just serve, but they are going to serve by the power of the Spirit under the anointing of God with the grace of God and hearing from you exactly what to do, when to pull back, when to say no, when to say yes, how to move, and you're going to give them very brilliant ideas in their function, in Jesus' name. And we impart that into them. Father, put your hand upon them even now by the power of the Spirit to release into them that great unction you are releasing in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can sit down. I just want to make sure we release this stuff. Joe, I'm seeing an increase in the worship. You already are very anointed. You already have something from God, but I'm going to have you stand. And anyone else that feels called into a worship ministry, whether it's singing or an instrument, if anyone has that, thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Kora, Father, we thank you for the unction and the anointing to worship in the way that the Holy Spirit, in the way that the angels, in the holy way, and set apart by the power of the Spirit to release them into new levels because you are raising them up to a higher standard. They are going to show a higher standard of worship. They are going to show a higher method, a higher standard, and a higher way. And Father, when they worship, I believe they will release heaven. Not just good music, but they'll release whatever the atmosphere of heaven, whatever's going on in heaven today, at the very moment that they will have the anointing to release it, and even to be super sensitive to the flow of the Spirit of God, even in the middle of song, oh, okay, we're going over here now. Oh, I see, I'm supposed to play that again. Oh, okay, I'm supposed to have a holy quiet right now. There will be this holiness and an open heaven. I declare an open heaven over you as you minister to the Lord and to the people in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's a big deal. It's a big, big deal. Okay, there's people here who have a wonderful calling to help children or to raise up children or to teach children. I personally believe this is one of the greatest callings in the body of Christ. One of the most important things in the earth today is what we teach the kids, how we impart to the kids. So if that's you, I want you to stand. I think this is a holy thing. It's a holy thing. Father, I thank you that these are precious. Your children are more precious to you. Your little ones are so precious to you. And I ask you right now to pour. I see a gold liquid being poured from heaven into the tops of their heads, anointing them to do the works of God, to change the lives of children. Things that the kids will remember, oh, years ago my teacher said this to me and they never forgot it. I'm seeing that when you speak something by the Spirit or pray for them by the Spirit, it will be so life-changing that it will be with them and guide them all the days of their life. And I want to say again, God is saying, this is such an important part of the kingdom. Very important right now in Jesus' name. Thank you. You can sit down. Just want to see if there's anything else. Okay, I think that's it for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to talk about... Okay, we mentioned that in your born-again spirit, that contains the identity, or, you know, a lot of people today call it the DNA of God. That's become a big thing in the past few years. We never used to hear that. And it's probably a really good way to say it. But there's something I want to share that I believe God has shown me, that in your born-again spirit, God also plants a seed. There's a seed of who you are. It's like a seed. And a lot of times people don't know it, so they never tend to the seed. Now, the reason I know about this is God has used this to help me. Remember I said for many years, nobody believed I was called, and I didn't tell a lot of people because they never liked that whole thing of people going around saying, I'm called to preach. And I would think, well, do-da. You know, because I didn't like the whole tooting your horn thing. But I also couldn't understand, if you were called, why people didn't see it. And God began to show me a picture. And again, this is a parable, so you can take it or leave it. But what he showed me was, now I was already operating in Word of Knowledge. In fact, it was like very young. I was seeing all kinds of people healed through Word of Knowledge, but it was one-on-one. Just everywhere I went, just people were getting healed through Word of Knowledge. And that was a lot of fun, but that wasn't public. It wasn't public ministry. But what happened was I used to wonder, because I was young enough and naive enough to think that that you preached in church and the church would receive you and they would embrace your calling and you would preach from their pulpit. But that was never the case. that was never the case. And God took me. I was in a church one day where they were very prophetic, but there was no open door there. And I know in those days, more than now, but now too, women ministers, ex-nay, that wasn't a thing, okay? And so I remember saying, God, how's this going to work? So he showed me two things. One thing was that Jesus, by and large, wasn't ministering in the structured church. He would stop by, do a miracle, they'd get mad at him, right? Because he healed on the Sabbath, they'd chew him out, didn't see who he was, didn't recognize who he was. Did it stop him? No. He went out on the hillside. He just rented a hotel room. No, just kidding. But that's how this started. Edgar was very, very much in the churches because he'd been on all kinds of TV shows. He'd been on, you know, Pat Robertson, 700 Club, Huntley Street. He'd been all those, PTL, all that stuff. So he, at one time, he was famous. And so he traveled all the time, was welcome in a lot of churches, but me, not so much. And so I couldn't figure it out. And so God showed me that a lot of what he was going to do might be in the churches, but it also might not be, and that's okay. But the other thing he showed me was this. He showed me if you could imagine looking at a person's body and seeing this seed that is in their spirit growing like a little plant, and then a bigger plant, and then a bigger plant. And he said, that thing can grow up to here and nobody sees it. And he reminded me of the scripture, actually I have it in here. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, when it grows, it becomes the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds can come and perch in its branches. Now, I want to point out, in the parable of the sower, which is a different parable, it said, Jesus said, what was sown in their heart, the seeds were sown into the person's heart. So I think it's fair to say that this parable has some merit. What he showed me is I was busy. I was hanging out with God. I was praying. I was lived a fast, very fasted life. I was fasting a lot. I was praying a lot. And most of all, I was hanging out with God, sitting at the feet of the Lord for many, many, many hours. It was my regular thing. I loved it more than anything. I was learning from him. And this little tree was being nurtured and growing, right? And then he said, what happens is eventually it becomes bigger than you are. And it begins to show. This tree begins to grow bigger than you. And people begin to start to say, oh, I'll take that fruit off your tree. I'll rest in the shade of that tree. How did you do that? What do you mean my feet are healed? Stuff like that. What happens is you keep nurturing. And I think there's a lot of people in the body who didn't know this was in them or didn't know how to water and feed the Word of God in them or feed most of all the relationship with the Father. To me, I mean, I love the Word of God, but where I learn the most about the Word is when I'm not actually reading it. I learn the most about the Word. I do read it a lot because that's our source. But a lot of times I read it and I go, that's wonderful, but I may not have a big revelation, right? I may piece it together, but for me, I'll put the book down and I'll go either lay down or sit down with the Lord. And suddenly it's like scripture upon scripture upon scripture. I'll be like, oh, and revelation comes because who is the Holy Spirit? He's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. So if you want to sit at his feet, you'll learn a lot about the Word. He'll explain. Remember when Jesus walked with the two men? He'd been raised from the dead, but they didn't know it. And they're on the road to Emmaus, and he hides from them who he is. But he begins to open the scriptures to them. Like from beginning to end, he's talking, and then he reveals himself, and they're like, it's him. Remember they said, did our hearts not burn within us? Because he was speaking by the Spirit. In other words, when I say speaking by the Spirit, he was pulling what was from heaven into earth. It's a much better way. What a lot of people have done, and I'm not condemning anybody, is they've tried to do Christianity through their intellect. And it may even be true, and it may even be good, but it isn't always fruitful. Have you ever heard somebody speak by the power of the Spirit and you can feel it and you're like, oh, there's something about when that guy talks, right? Because it's not him, it's the Holy Ghost, and there's something in you that was made to respond to the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen? Amen? So this calling that you have, or I don't even like saying calling, but this identity that you have, you nurture it. Find out who you are by sitting at his feet. It's through a relationship. And he doesn't, you know, people want to come and they want to know, like, what am I called to? They, like, day one, they want the picture. I've never seen him do it that way. Very rarely, with probably somebody who's, you know, worldwide, they might. I think Bonnke, Reinhard Bonnke, used to say he would have over and over, from little kid, over and over, over, he'd see this picture of Africa on fire. And he would march up and down with his little German accent, saying, Africa shall be saved. Africa shall be saved. His whole life, that was his burning passion. He knew that way. But for me, and I think for most Christians, there it's not this sudden, oh, I'm called to this, whoa, and all the angels go, whoa, you know, it's never been like that. For me, it's been a piece at a time, a little more at a time. And then when I go be faithful to do that piece, then another bunch of stuff opens. I go, oh, there's more. Then when I walk in that, and here's the thing, he'll make you walk in a little for a while. And then when he goes, oh, hey, they're faithful, they're true, they kept to their thing. They stayed in their lane. They didn't take the glory. They gave all the honor to me. They helped their, they helped their brother. They didn't try to be greater than everybody else, right? Because a big part of this is becoming the least, isn't it? It's letting somebody else be greater, right? Right, that's the heart of Jesus. You notice Jesus didn't hold back. He had every gift in heaven. He is heaven, right? He's the King of heaven, had everything. But he didn't say, okay, I'm going to give you guys this, this, and this, but only I. No, no. He actually said, he who believes on me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater. That's the heart of Jesus. So if I'm worth my salt, I have to be excited and happy and joyful when one of you goes out and does something I could have never done. Why? Who? See, because then maybe I did a piece of my job. Right. Right. Because my job is to make you have everything I have, but more, greater, better, smarter, better at sitting with the Holy Spirit. Or I haven't done my job. So if it's all about me and why didn't they recognize me, you're not in the heart of Jesus. And you know what? That's how our flesh is. Because our flesh is all about me. They didn't recognize me. They didn't honor me. Well, that's the opposite of the heart of Jesus, isn't it? Yeah. And we all have to overcome that, don't we? That's our stinky nature. It's our stinky flesh nature. Right? I won't go there, but I'm just going to tell you. God had to contend with me to even show me how really icky that is. The motives of the heart. I said I'm not going to go there, but I guess I am. Thank you, Jesus. Here we are. I like to pray at night. I love being out at night outside, praying on my porch, and I'm hanging out with God, having this great time, and he pulls this curtain aside, and I see my heart. And it was not a pretty sight. Because what I saw, I wanted to do all the right things, but my motive wasn't because I cared for the people, was it? No. And I realized what he was saying was, my motive wasn't to minister so that people, minister, by the way, means servant. A minister is a servant. Yay. I thought of that about midnight when I'm trying to put those coils. So when I saw my heart, I realized I wanted the right things, but there wasn't a purity in my heart. My motives were kind of selfish, right? And what was I doing? I'm just being brutally honest because I think most of us have experienced this. If I was really honest, I'd say probably all of us at one point or another have experienced that we want to be used of God because we want to feel validated by God and recognized by man, because that's fun, isn't it? Because now, you know, I'm being used. I raised the dead. I healed the sick. But here's something I saw with Edgar. You know why God could use him in such radical, I'm talking about, those of you who don't know about him, he went to Bakersfield, California, and a woman stood in front of him that had no, she had black glasses on. When she got in front of him, she took those glasses and she threw them. And she took her white cane, she was blind, and she threw it, and he said there was no eyeballs and no eyelids. He's looking in empty sockets. He said his stomach went because it was nauseating. And he's thinking, you know, in the flesh he didn't have that kind of faith. But guess what? God showed up. God told him, put your thumbs in the sockets. Well, that's just gross right there. And he said he didn't even do it. It was like his hands went, and he said he could feel on the end of his thumbs going, something going, and he jerked his hands away and watched God grow eyeballs and eyelids. Amen. And then she was walking around going, you're wearing a red tie, you're wearing a pink shirt, you're wearing this. You know, she began to see for the first time in years. I forget what the story was with her eyes. I don't know what happened to him. And at first when he would tell these stories, I was kind of like, I mean, I believed in miracles, but I was like, really? I mean, I believed him, but I kind of had this little bit of, well, then we had our first service together. And I went, oh, he's not kidding. Well, one of the reasons, one of many reasons that he was able to do that, I didn't learn till later. He had this thing from God that was not human compassion. It was God's compassion. He could not stand for someone to be hurting. He had a broken back at one point. He was in horrific pain for 5 months, horrific pain. He did get healed. It took 5 months. So he lived. He said he couldn't stand up, sit down, or lay down without this terrible, terrible pain. So we would be driving down the street, and where I might see someone limping, his compassion would just gush. He couldn't stand that they were hurting. He couldn't stand that they were broken. And he would immediately start praying. And I didn't put it together until some years later that when the compassion showed up, the healing power of God was showing up. That compassion and healing were tied. And I was actually, you know how I'm always telling you, ask God the questions of your heart. He'll find a way to answer you. Well, one of the questions, when I saw that, I said, God, are you telling me that compassion, not human compassion, we all have that. We all feel sorry. We're moved with pity when someone's hurting. I get it. But this isn't that. This is something that would flow through him from God, the Father. And I said, God, are you telling me that compassion is tied to physical healing? About 2 days later, I'm watching a revivalist. The man is on TV, like back when God TV, I don't know if you guys have, I used to have God TV, I don't know what happened, I don't have it anymore. This man was a revivalist. He was on the platform in South Africa. He's in the middle of a preach. Now, I asked him this from Illinois. And in South Africa, this man who moved in phenomenal miracles said, oh, he's in the middle of the sentence, he stops and he says, oh, the compassion of the Lord is here to heal. I'm laying down, I confess, I'm kind of, I admit it. I had, at that time, I had this big old king-size bed, and I had the TV kind of like this, so I could lay in bed, watch TV, watch God TV. And I'm laying there. Now, I had a torn shoulder. I had a lot of pain in my rotator cuff. And I'm one of those people, is I'm not going to have it worked on. It's not happening. I'm not doing it. God, you can fix it, or it's staying. I'm not doing it. And I wasn't even thinking about it. To be honest, I wasn't praying about it. I'm laying there, and he's talking to people in the stadium in South Africa, and he said, someone's left shoulder is being healed, and something goes, boom, and hits my shoulder, and my shoulder's healed. Because the compassion of the Lord was there to heal. Wow. See, there's no distance with word of knowledge. There's no distance in the power of the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? So the motive, I think our motive needs to change. And when I saw my heart, I realized I was being selfish. I was thinking about me and my calling. Well, big deal, right? God can raise up rocks. He doesn't need me. And I began to pray into, let my motives be changed. Change my heart. And it did not happen overnight, nor are we done. I'm not going to say we're done, but I will say God has done a great work in my heart of caring for the body, caring for where they're at, caring for when they're broken, caring for when they're just flat, stupid, and making horrible mistakes, still caring and wanting to help them. God did that in my heart because that was not there. I promise that was not there. Okay, that was free, not part of the seminar. Thank you, Joe. Okay. So your identity is like this. It can remain a seed, or if it is nurtured, with watered and fed by the word and prayer, and I'm especially going to say by learning to hang out with the Holy Spirit, right? He is a special gift from Jesus. Jesus imparted him to be your counselor, your comforter, and your mentor to lead and guide you into all truth. There's some scriptures I don't think we can understand with our mind. It's beyond us. Tell me, can you understand creatures that have eyes full of eyes, wheels within wheels? I don't know anybody that really gets that. But there's places when you hang out with the Holy Spirit that He will open you to understand more and more. And it's so vast. Heaven is so vast. His knowledge is so vast. I don't think there's any one person that you know, we can spend years sitting at his feet and just still have a peace, you know? I was listening to a guy and, you know, I have a fair amount of knowledge, but when this guy started talking, I felt like I didn't know anything because his knowledge was so, he had so much revelation from the Lord. And that's as it should be, right? Yeah. Okay. All right. So we are to be the fulfillment of God's desire in the earth. God planted us in the earth because, see, the earth was basically stolen from him. He gave the earth to Adam. If you read Genesis 1 real close, God created the earth for man. He put him in the garden, and in Genesis, If you look at 1:26, you know, if you just look at it lightly, see, yeah, he gave him dominion over the birds of the air, the fish, sea, blah, 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 yahoo. So what? Fish. Fish, I command you to turn left. It says over all the earth. He told Adam, I give you dominion over all the earth. In another scripture, he said, fill the earth and subdue it. And if you look up that word, it means to subjugate it or force it to come under your dominion. Did you know that if you're part of the church, part of your mission is to subdue earth and bring it under God's control? God wants to set up his role in the earth, and in the end, he will. He wants to take back what was stolen. So who is the prince of the world? The devil, because Adam turned it over to him through deception. That's when, see, God didn't design Satan to be the prince of the world. He designed Adam to be. Adam was supposed to be the prince of this world. But Adam screwed up, bowed the knee to Satan through deception. Actually, Eve and him both, they both screwed up. When that happened, Satan got an inroad. Man, frankly, became deformed in the spirit, right? Death, the Bible says, through what Adam, through one man, death passed upon all men. So Jesus has to come as a seed. He called himself a seed, remember? Unless a seed fall on the ground and die, it abides alone. He was talking about himself. He was recreating himself in those who would become born again. He was a great seed. If you picture a piece of corn, he was a piece of corn or whatever, put into the ground that raised up many. He was the firstborn of many brethren. You're a seed in the earth. And his hope is that we will take the earth for him. And not in a, you know, not just by winning souls, although that's a huge part of it, but also by bringing his kingdom on the earth. Right? Isn't that cool? One of the jobs of some people in the body of Christ is to bring the will of God and the rule of heaven into the earth. How about that? So, keep losing my place because I start preaching. So we're to be the fulfillment of God's desire in the earth, but until we get rid of our labels and false thinking, a lot of people go around in this circle their whole life because they got beat up, they don't think well of themselves, they're just so busy trying to get through life, honestly, because they're wounded and they're broken. They're trying to learn, you know, how to interact with God, and that's all great. But at some point, God is asking us, he said in his word, to grow up in all things into him. Catch this, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's a bodacious scripture, isn't it? And he's asking us to grow up because he wants us to bring the rule of heaven into earth. In fact, there's a theologian, a Hebrew scholar named Michael Heiser, and I'm sure a lot of theologians think this, but I just happen to hear it from him. But he said, when God told Adam and Eve to fill the earth and subdue it, he was saying, take the rest of the earth and make it like Eden. Because Eden was like heaven on earth because God had set up dominion there. And it was an open heaven. Remember, God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. There was an open heaven. Every day, all day. And did you know that in you that same thing still exists? And people always come to me and say, well, God doesn't talk to me like he talks to you. Yes, he does. You just aren't walking in the right garden. Okay? Most people have been taught to operate out of their head or their emotions. And your head is great. God gave you your head. He gave you your emotions are a gift. But that is not where God is walking. God is moving in your spirit, man. So we have to kind of turn those things off and come to him in the realm of the spirit. Everybody here? Yeah. I'm seeing some. Back to Wednesday night. Yeah, we really went into the mechanics of it Wednesday. But, you know, that's his desire is... And he's not mad about it. He's delighted when somebody begins to come into being the gateway. Now, the only reason I've been blessed, honestly, is God brought a woman into my life, and I for some reason I didn't go to the traditional church. I got saved alone in my bedroom, and I rededicated my life in my living room, another living room. And so I didn't go to church. So I was sitting with the Lord in my Bible, developing a relationship. And finding out that God would answer the dumbest questions. I was like, why would God talk to me. I'm not anybody. Why would he even want to talk to us? But the more questions I asked, the more I realized God wants relationship with his kids. And I say this with kindness, but a lot of people have substituted going to church and learning a program and doing the program, and why doesn't it work? If I do it long enough, maybe it'll work. I'll do this, I'll do the faith thing, I'll do the confession thing. Those are all good, and they are all of God, but they're meant to work in a framework of relationship with your Father. He who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. You're an actual part of him that happens to be on the earth. There's a whole lot of heaven and earth are met together. You know that scripture? Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Where does that happen? One of the places it happens is in you, in your spirit. So you have to learn how to say, okay, mind, you're very smart. God gave you to me. But for now, shut up. I want to hear what the Lord says. I want to turn into the Spirit of God. What does he say? Opinions, be quiet. What does the Lord say? Emotions, shut up. I want to hear what the Lord is saying, right? I was ruled by emotions for years, ruled by them. My emotions just led me around by the nose. I'm up, I'm down, I'm down, I'm up. And my emotions were based on circumstances, which change every day. And I had a friend who was going through terrible things, just as bad as me, and he was like this. And we worked together in the music ministry. He never had a bad day. And I knew what was going on in his house, and it was bad. And I thought, I'm doing this wrong. And I went to the Lord and said, I need you to teach me. That guy's got some, and I want to know what it is. God spent quite a bit of time teaching me about emotions and their role in our life. If you want that, we have Managing Your Emotions today. So it's called Managing Your Emotions So They Don't Manage You. Okay? All right. So when we get rid of the labels and false thinking about ourselves, we will be free to love ourselves and our mission. Can you imagine? Now, do you actually like yourself? Some people do. But do you don't have to answer me. But do you like yourself? Do you like who you are? Do you like your position? Because God wants you to. If you don't like yourself, it's because you just don't know the real you. Because when you meet the real you, you're going to be like, they're pretty cool. Because they are. Because you're a piece of God. You're part of God. So Jesus was, think about this, the Word made flesh. He was the manifestation of his book, right? And Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, hundreds of scriptures foretold his story, which he then came and lived out. They prophetically told his story, and he came and lived them out, right? In a similar way, you are to be the manifestation of your identity, your heavenly identity on the earth, or the seed that God put in you, or who you are in the spirit, or the book that is written about you in heaven. That's good preaching, I'm just saying. Okay, so now we've talked about kind of the goods and the bads. We've talked about our earthly and our heavenly identity. So how do you know which one you're aligning with? And I would say usually your emotions are the dead giveaway. And I put down some examples. But did you ever read a Bible promise and you know it's the Word? And if someone were to ask you, you'd say, yes, the Word is the absolute truth. It's infallible. Yes, I believe that. But when you read that scripture, you kind of go, but not for me. Or you kind of blow past it. Did that ever happen to you?
No.
Thank you for that one person telling the truth. Yeah, so let's say you read, here's a scripture a lot of people don't like. God delights in the prosperity of his servant. Wow, that's a dirty word. But it says God delights in the prosperity of his servant. Let's say you read that, or how about this one? God teaches you how to get wealth that he may establish his covenant. Money is just a servant. We're not, it's not that big a deal. But if we want to do what we do, we have to have money. We spend money on the travel. We spend money on the binder. It's not a big deal, nor do we need it. But it is a tool to do the work of the Lord. If I have excess, I give it to a ministry that uses it well.
Amen.
And that's a joy. So, but what if you read those scriptures and you go, I actually had a friend, and this guy knew more Bible than I did. But he'd grown up in poverty. He was DCFS kid? Is that the phrase is? And so he had a true poverty spirit. And he believed that poverty was like some kind of righteousness. And he lived in somebody else's basement. He drove this beat-up old van and felt wrong asking for more. But no, God wanted to bless him with more. And I quoted one of those scriptures to him, and this is what he said, this man that knew more Bible than me. He said, well, what if that's true for you and not for me? I said, well, then you just called God a liar. Yeah. He said, the word of God is of no private interpretation. I said, well, then is being born again for me and not for you? Is loving other people for me and not for you? You can't say that. You have to look at the word of God and receive it for you. See, so what I'm saying is he had a label. He was raised in poverty. He thought poverty. So to him, it was like, I'm not going there because, you know, God might get mad at me. So he, every time there was a promise, it would bounce off him. Do you ever have a promise bounce off you? Do you ever have a prophecy bounce off you? Like, well, I just don't know if God would do that for me. I don't know if God means me. What about healing? Well, I don't know if he means me. Does he mean me? Well, I don't know if I'm worthy. Well, you never were. My mom, they diagnosed her with multiple myeloma. It's a dreadful form of cancer. She had been raised in a split off of the Mormon church. And I had talked to her about God, but she was really, you know, that's a horrible diagnosis. And I said, you know, Mom, we've seen God heal people. She said, well, she was this tiny, teeny little thing. She said, well, I just don't know if I'm worthy. I said, this is what I said, and I didn't mean to. This just popped out. I said, you're not. I said, Mom, none of us are. That's why I had to die. And my mom started to cry these tears, and she said, are you a minister? And I said, yeah, I wasn't going to tell you, but kind of, yeah. That was a secret. See, she didn't feel worthy, so what happened? The promise of healing bounced off. Because God, oh yeah, he heals other people. Come on. But would he heal me? I know some of you heard this story, but when we were in Colorado last year, I was preaching about the fact that you can disqualify yourself. See, Satan can't disqualify you if you're born again. Can't. He has no legal right to disqualify you unless you give him one. But so what does he do? He tries to get you to disqualify yourself by telling you things like you're not good enough. Well, Satan, read your Bible. Yes, you're right, I'm not. But guess what? Someone has stood in my behalf who is holy. And you got to come through him to get to me, and you can't do it. That's the truth. And so we have to rearrange our thinking. So we were talking about this. I was preaching about this. I, for once in my life, had my eyes open. And there happened to be a lady there, and I happened to be talking about when you disqualify yourself. And she caught my eye and went just real sweet, like sad, like yes. And after the meeting, I know her. She's kind of a friend. And I walked up after. I said, what's going on? Are you okay? And she said, well. And I knew she had a bad diagnosis. She had stage 4 cancer. And she said, well, here's this. I said, what's going on? Why do you feel disqualified? She said, well, 20 years ago, I was with my first husband, who's now passed on. He's with the Lord. We were called of God to a ministry. We didn't obey God in something. So I never felt like I was worthy to receive. So for these 20 years, now she's married to another man, a good man of God. God, she was a widow. God brought her this other man. They're good man of God. And yet she had disqualified herself. And you can't say this, but oh wait, so you know better than the Word of God? Come on. That's what we're doing when we disqualify ourselves. Now God may tell you, yes, I'm going to heal you, but you got to deal with this. You got to change that thinking. You got to do. But usually he'll just heal you just because he's good. So I said, are you ready to get rid of it? I said, do you realize that's a lie? She said, yeah, I see it's a lie. I said, are you ready to get rid of it? So we did this exchange thing. We did a proclamation where she repented of believing a lie, accepted the word of God, which is the truth. So a simple exchange, a simple, took about a minute. Right after that, unbeknownst to me, Lori lays hands on her. Guess what? 100% healed from stage 4. She wrote to us, and Lori was in faith. Didn't she have the diagnosis with her? And Lori said, well, that's not true, right? And you started writing all of, nope, 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 nope. I wasn't there, so I don't know how you did it. But sometime later, she writes to us and she says, my numbers were 2,100. They're supposed to be 19. They are now 20. She wrote us about a month later and said, my doctor said, go home. You don't need to come back. You don't have cancer. You're healed. That all came when she traded in the lie or the label or whatever you want to call it for the truth of the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. We've had people healed and we didn't even pray for their healing when they just got rid of that lie, because Satan holds a legal accusation when you believe a lie. Robert Henderson is brilliant at this. He was talking about this, and he talked about the fact that that word for adversary, do you ever notice today a lot of people call the adversary, they think the adversary, there's this battlefield and there's swords and shields. Do you ever see all that on Facebook? But the word adversary is one who brings a lawsuit against you in a court. It's a legal action against you. He doesn't have any legal right, but if he does find one, something you've spoken, something you've said in unbelief, or a belief, now you can cure it instantly. You don't have to stay in it. But he brings that before God and says, I have a legal right. Right? And people say, well, I'm not an open sin. I'm not talking about open sin. It may be as simple as you've worn a label your whole life, but it's not God. That's not who you are anymore. Amen. That's not who you are anymore. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad I bring you along. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so you might read, by his stripes you were healed, but you say, oh, I think God is mad at me. Or he tells you to do something. This used to be me. Holly, I want you to sing, no. I want you to play the piano, no, no. Because my emotions, fear would just be like, blah, you know. Not happening. Or I don't have the ability. Or I'm terrible. My voice isn't that good. What will I think? What will I say? Blah. That's false identity. That's a label. Because God is saying, you know, I really don't care, honey. I want to use that. So just trust me and do it, right?
Do it.
Yeah. Just do it. Sadness or depression might try to come on you. I used to have this. There's a spirit called failure. And even though I was in the natural, I was very successful, this thing followed me. And every morning when I would wake up, this failure, and for a long time I didn't get it. I thought it was my thoughts. Didn't realize it was an imp suggesting that I was a failure, and I believed him. And I'd be depressed, I didn't want to get out of bed, I didn't want to deal with the day. And finally, it was like dawned on me, actually, Rodney Howard Brown was talking, he said, when you lose your joy, you're getting into error. And I thought, oh, that's not true. But over the years, I've seen that is true. When you lose your joy, it's because you're believing a lie. Depression, by and large, is believing a lie the enemy has told you. No wonder God said that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to change our mind. That's really what all repentance is. We need to change how we think, and especially how we think about people, how we think about ourselves, how we think about our role. Amen?
Amen.
I hope this is helping you. So sadness or depression may come on you because you believe the lie of the enemy, whether it's failure, whether it's whatever. Here's a big one that depression likes to say, it's never going to get any better.
Yeah.
Or this is so bad, I don't even know how God could fix this one. Like there's no, that way's no good, that way's no good, there's no good out. Well, that's a lie. God can take the whole thing, throw it up in the air, recreate it on the way down, and it's done. And I've seen him do it in impossible situations. So, though all those things are false identities at work. So now, it's actually pretty simple to get free. You don't have to fast and pray. This is what I found. When you've believed a lie, or you've accepted a label that is no longer true because now you're a new creation, right?
Yeah.
You might say, well, it was true. Well, it's not true anymore because that's not who you is, right? All we have to do is simply bring it before the Father. Now, I believe we have to do it out loud. And the reason for that is this is what God showed me the miraculous in this for years before I understood the mechanics. So I was helping people get healed or get free. I'd be praying with people on the phone. He would have me make them do a proclamation. Okay, repeat after me. One day I was like, Lord, can't I just pray it for me? He said, no, you cannot. They made a choice and they need to unmake it legally. Right? If they chose to believe that they're damaged goods, or they're unworthy, or God is mad, you can't fix that. They made a choice. And if you can, and so I always ask them, I don't make them say the proclamation, I always say, Are you ready to get rid of that? Do you want to get rid of that? And if they say yes, I say, then repeat after me, right? And what I have them do is say a proclamation that basically says, Lord, I see that today I have believed a lie. I took this, whatever it is, could be anything. Today, I see it's a lie. I renounce that lie, and I am not going to believe that anymore. Satan, pack your bags, whatever the proclamation is, but this is the basics. Father, from this day, I choose to believe your word, which says, and then he used the antidote in the scripture, right? For example, a person believes with all their heart that they're unworthy, they're unforgivable, they're so damaged. You get them to say, Lord, I see I believed a lie. I repent of believing that. I'm renouncing that, and today I'm embracing the word which says, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And you have them quote a couple of scriptures, right? And then what happens? This is what I saw after doing it for some years. This is what I saw in the Spirit. They were telling Satan, I've just cut off your legal right. You can't use that one on me anymore. I will not believe that anymore. And he goes, oh, and this door slams shut between them and hell. The second thing that happens is a door opens between them and heaven because they're saying, Father, I do believe. I wasn't in belief. We don't call it that, but that's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah,
because we've sinned against God because we said, you know, I know better than you. I believe this, but your word is that. And so you open the door to heaven. Now you can receive that promise so easily. That's why it's so easy then to get your healing.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing I saw is you're speaking to your soul. You are telling your emotions, you don't have to feel that way anymore. You never have to feel that way again. Sometimes God has had me tell people, you're safe now. You're safe now. I've known people, I've ministered to people who've been on the run their whole life because all they ever knew was people that would abuse them and take their stuff, just mean people. That's all they ever knew. So how could they feel free to receive from a God they can't see? And I've seen, I remember having someone even, I was led by the Spirit, but in my mind I'm thinking, is that scriptural? Because I'm real feisty about that. If it's not scriptural, I don't want to do it. But I hear, I'm having them say, speak to their own soul. And I'm having them speak to their mind, will, and emotions. You're safe now. Be at peace. It's okay to believe God's word. God is for you. Stuff like that. And I get off the phone. Now, it was super effective. I get off the phone. I'm like, God, is that scriptural? You know what he said? Haven't you read? When David said, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. He was talking to his soul.
Amen.
I'm like, you're right. What was I thinking? So, hallelujah. Now, this part is totally optional. But if you want to deal with anything particular that was raised up, maybe something was raised up and you went, oh man, you know, my teacher told me I was slow, or my parents thought I was not as good as the, you know, whatever it was. If anyone, and you do not have to do this, but I always love the first person because then everybody else goes, well, I got one. But what we'll do is we'll undo those, okay? So if anybody has anything on their heart and they go, okay, hello. Thank you, God bless you. Yes. No, just.
Okay. So the words that were spoken to me was, you're too young, you're a woman, you're not smart enough. I was told, please get degrees. Like, you're just never going to do it. So I took it in my own hands and I got myself a minister's license with Assemblies of God. And so I've been ministering for them. Ministering for God because I'm constantly having to
prove that that was true, false.
Prove it was false, but
yeah.
Also meet the standards that AG wants me to meet.
Yeah.
And come to the conferences they want me to go to and minister where they want me to go minister.
And do you, two questions. One is, do you feel like God is releasing you from the organization or he just wants you freer within it? Yeah.
Then I'll do it. I don't care.
Okay.
But if he wants that relationship to stand for some reason for the future, then I'll keep it. But I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. And then is there leftovers of, I have to prove myself because I'm a woman, I have to prove myself because I'm young, or is there any of that leftover? Yeah. Okay. Has anyone else ever dealt with that stuff? Timothy did. Remember, Paul said, let no man despise you because you're youth. Timothy was young, right? In Christ, there is no male or female in the Spirit of God. I get the part. I won't go into the teaching why it's okay for women to minister, because the Bible does talk about that, that Paul didn't allow the women to speak in church. But it was because in that culture they were upstairs with the children. And if they spoke, it would have messed up the service. It wasn't women can't speak. In fact, we know they can because he recognized Philip's daughters. We know the whole thing. I'm not going to teach on it. But so what we're going to do is, if anyone had that, I'd like to do a proclamation. So it was too young, women, anything else? Oh, the degree.
Yeah, not smart enough.
Okay, good. So we know the scripture for too young is that Timothy was installed by God, and Paul said, don't let anybody despise your youth. We know that. We know that in Christ there's no male or female, that's scripture. And the third one is degrees, and in the book of Acts it says that they recognized that these were ignorant and unlearned men, but they had been with Jesus. So they had this power to heal the guy that, wait, those guys never had the power to heal, right? So we know those are all lies, right? So does anybody else want to do this with us? We can all do it, just or not. So I always ask the Father to give me the proclamation, and you're obviously ready to do that, right? Okay. So anybody that wants to, I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, if I was ever despised because I'm too young, or if that caused me not to be able to move in the Spirit, I repent of believing that. Timothy was a youth. You can use any human you want. I'm signing up for that. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Going somewhere to happen. You said in your word there is no male or female. In Christ there's no male or female. So I now renounce any lie that I can't minister because of my gender. Satan, pack your bags. Father, I embrace your word. I accept that I'm full of the Holy Ghost and power. I today reject the lie that I have to have certain degrees. Satan, you can never use that on me again. Because the disciples were ignorant and unlearned men. But they'd been with Jesus. So I'm free to move about the country. I'm free to be used of God in every area. Without apology. In Jesus' name. Now I just want to add that if you choose to remain with them, the way of the kingdom is you always still submit to their authority, but it's not out of, like you shouldn't feel under duress. You know, if you feel like God is releasing you, that's okay too. Amen? Do you feel better? Do you get a release? Is there still something happening there? Okay. Okay, well keep asking. Because sometimes you get a little bit of it, but there's a little bit, you know, it's okay. Like, well, wait a minute, I didn't get this part of it. Okay? Now, a lot of times when we do this, we've actually seen, I was praying with a woman at a women's retreat up at the Osthof, and she came up against her will, and she had this huge burden of it was like a grieving of condemnation. And this woman is a professional, like she's a real high up in a corporation, really, really smart. And I took her through a little blurb, and then I said, would you like to do a proclamation? She said, well, a minute ago I wouldn't have agreed to it, but I'm in. We said this proclamation to release her from it, and it felt in the spirit like 2,000 pounds of junk went shoo. We've seen people healed. We've seen people radically changed. And I am an intercessor, but some things you don't have to spend a long time on. You just have to get it in your heart, okay? Anybody else got something? I saw another hand. Was your hand up? Did you have something? Yeah, I saw a hand.
I feel like I've gotten much more light and stuff. And I'm still battle with, not being good enough for God.
Okay.
From spirit condemnation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, amen. And that, amen, that's a really good one, and I would venture to say many or most believers have struggled with that. And your head, you're very knowledgeable. Your head knows better, but your heart, sometimes our heart hides a little something from us, right? Because the word, especially for guys, but me too, we were not allowed to, you know, it's like not okay to feel that way, so I don't. And then one day something comes bubbling up, you're like, and it's simply your heart telling you, hey, there's something I want to deal with. So that, has anyone else dealt with not good enough or condemnation? Amen, amen. Come on, be honest. Yeah. Come on, I know it's more because I deal with people all the time. And I had it. So we know that the word says that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. We know that the word talks about our born-again spirit being in the very image of Jesus, right? It's his righteousness. And he didn't just give us the robe of righteousness, although he did that. He who knew no sin became sin for us. I don't know how that works. That we might become the righteousness. When you became righteousness was the moment you got born again. That spirit in you is righteous, even if your flesh isn't perfect. Now, does God want us to work on our flesh and our habits? Yeah. Does he want us to perfect that stuff? Yeah. Does he want holiness? Sure. But John was reminding me, this is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible because I needed it so bad. He has forever made perfect those who are being made holy. What does that mean? That your born-again spirit is perfect and holy. That's a done deal. Past tense, already done if you're born again. Your flesh, like Paul, still stinks. Amen. In my flesh, also, there's always this Romans 7 thing going on. Oh, wretched man that I am, the thing I don't want to do, I do. The thing I want to do, I don't do. He was talking about the war that's going on in his mortal body. That's exactly what he's talking about. So John probably knows this better than all of us because, you know, you've taught on it. It's wonderful. So, yeah, you want to know it in your guts, right? Amen. 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 And when, you know, remember I told the story about getting Jesus casting that thing out of me? But what I didn't share was God took 2 years of my life to teach me because my mind was still not renewed. And I truly didn't understand the fullness of the gospel message. And so it took him some time to renew my thinking through. And so I'm going to ask him to do that as well, though we'll make the proclamation. So anyone who wants to be free from guilt, condemnation, or the feeling of unworthiness, or not feeling good enough or enough, I want you to say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring all of this before you. I see today that it does not line up with the Word of God. I renounce every lie that says I'm not good enough, I'm not enough, or I'm not worthy, or I'm not forgiven. Because that's not what the Bible says. Satan, you lied to me. But that's over. You're never going to get me on this one again. I'm closing the door to you. Today, Father, I fully embrace heart, mind, soul, and spirit every scripture that proclaims the gospel, which is that Jesus' holiness became mine, that I was recreated in my spirit in his image, which is holy. And he is still working out some things in my flesh. But I'm okay with that. I want to be holy. But while I'm being made perfect, he says, I have been forever made holy. I embrace that today. So emotions, I speak to you. It is okay to believe the word of God. We are going to believe the word of God from this day forward. God has never lied. God has never lied to me. I'm holding fast to the truth. In Jesus' name. I'm just hanging out because there's something happening. Sometimes, and I don't know who this is for, I think I might know. But sometimes that type of a lie is tied to a root of something that happened in your life for which you took the blame. And it may not have even been your fault. And I'm seeing like a spiral in the spirit going back to a day. Now, I'm not going to say what your issue was, but I will say many times we see people who, when they were little children, got abuse at the hands of an abusive adult. But somehow, and this is fairly common, they took the blame as though it was their fault. It was never the child's fault. Never. And so in this case, there's more than just a label. Satan uses that reasoning, I deserved it. I did bad. And I'm not saying this case is abuse. It can be a business deal. It can be something you did wrong where you feel like I went too far. And I feel like God wants to say there is no too far. When the blood is concerned, if your heart is repentant, it is washed away so that it never happened. It has literally disappeared from history. It didn't happen. And so I don't know who that is. Father, I'm just asking you how to handle this, but I just want you to know sometimes Satan uses an event or something that happened to try to make you feel like you're not forgiven, or, yeah, you're forgiven, but that wasn't, okay? And I feel like there's some of that going on. So, Father, I just ask that whoever that is, that we be able to completely unplug that lie. So I'm just going to have us all say, Father, I bring every situation before you that I was ever involved in. Any word that was ever spoken. Any action that was ever done. Whether it was my fault or someone else's fault. And Father, I bring it to the cross. I am so sorry for anything I've ever done wrong. I place this under the blood. Let the blood run upon it. And you said you will put it in the sea of forgetfulness. It never happened. It will never be brought up again. And Father, I believe you forgive me. And I now choose to forgive myself. I now choose to forgive my family. In Jesus' name. And I release this. And right now, I break any form of trauma that came upon any of my brothers and sisters through events that happened, whether it was physical trauma, emotional trauma. In one person's case, I'm seeing shock. Something happened and it put them in a state of shock. And sometimes that trauma doesn't leave. So, Father, by the blood of Jesus, and in his name, I release every person in here from trauma, spiritual or physical, and we pray for a Holy Ghost memory wash, a blood wash memory, that cannot get them anymore. And even we pray for cell memory to be released and washed away. Released and washed away. It never happened in the spirit. It's remembered no more. There is no more guilt because God has washed it away in Jesus' name. So, is it, you got anything more? Okay. Keep your ears open. We really want you to leave today feeling like you've received some honest change. Okay, we had some other hands. Let's deal with some more. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, okay. Oh. Yeah, okay. So comprehension, and then not maybe as good as the sibling or not as capable. And is it specifically about earning? Okay. Okay. Well, I think the sibling thing is fairly common, where we didn't measure up to so-and-so. So, Father, I ask you to give us that. I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, if I was ever compared in an unfavorable light, in any way, against anybody, I forgive, but I reject it. I renounce that lie, and I have a legal right to do so because you chose me. You said, you have not chosen me, but I chose you. That means, Father, you chose me. You tracked me down. You looked for me. You ordained me. So I renounce that lie. I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. And Christ can do anything through me, including earn as much as anybody else and do it well and be a really good worker in Jesus' name. Okay, so now I want to deal with the comprehension thing. That comes in a lot of forms, people being told, you know, they're not as smart as their brother, blah, their grades, you're measured on grades, which aren't really a good measurement, are they? So we're going to deal with that. So I'm asking the Father for that proclamation. Father, I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, if I was ever called slow or lacking in comprehension, or told I had a poor memory, even if I don't remember it, I proclaim today that that's a lie. It absolutely does not line up with the Word of God. Your Word says I have the mind of Christ. He is the greatest genius that has ever lived. He is the genius that created the universe. And I have full access to his mind and my spirit man. It's not my natural mind, but I have access to his. Your word says, I have an unction from the Holy One, and I know all things. So I can do anything. I can remember everything. I can figure stuff out because I'm really showing you off. I'm showing off your abilities. And I receive it, and I accept it. Christy, did you feel a little released there? Okay. Now, I saw some hands over here. I don't want to just... Okay, then I'll get you next. Yeah.
Okay, I'm already feeling better after those. But for me, because I was in the military, and then when I went to the VA, they're like, you have PTSD. Then they're like, you have, you know, bipolar disorder, you have like all these disorders basically, like, you know, borderline personality disorder, ADHD, like you're an alcoholic. I mean, it just like went on and on. Like, and it sucked because I felt like, so the stuff that happened to me wasn't my fault, but then I was labeled like I have a disorder because of it. And then I was told I'm a disabled veteran and I like won't work again. And I feel like I've really tried to overcome those labels, but it's been really hard, even like the alcoholic part, because I know I had a problem with drinking for a period, but I turned away from it. But then I'm told no matter what for the rest of my life, that's going to be my identity.
Right, but we know that's not true.
Yeah, but even when you go to groups, they're like, you have to say, I'm broke, I'm an alcoholic. And yeah. I feel like
I think I have a better group for you to go to.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, yeah. Yeah, amen. Because God wants to, if there is any leftovers, you know, it could be that some things happened. You went through a lot. But God, he wants to heal it so fully. He wants to show you off for who you are in him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So I'm asking the Lord which way he wants to go with this. But those are not your labels.
Mm-hmm.
Those things did happen, but you're a new creation. So, Father, I'm going to ask you. First of all, I'm just going to ask you to stretch out your hands toward Brooke. And just pray for her right now. Father, we pray that right now, she went through a lot, but Father, everything that she went through that caused any disorder of any kind, including PTSD, including bipolar, including any kind of disorder, including any kind of drinking problem, including any kind of reaction, knee-jerk reaction, we pray in the name of Jesus right now. We wash that part of her soul in the blood of Jesus. We wash away. And I ask you, as only you can do, to turn back the clock and undo the things in her soul. Undo those things that happened to her. Release her from all trauma. She's had to defend herself. She's had to stand up for herself. And sometimes that took a wrong turn. But it was because nobody else was protecting her. She had to protect herself. And I'm seeing like this that that's why you would react sometimes. But the Father's washing away the very trauma. So, Father, right now we wash her soul of any trauma, spirit, mind, soul, body, and memory. We release her from any disorder that Satan's tried to put on her. And, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I ask you to take her back all the way back through her life to the very moment of conception. And, sir, I ask you to consider every word that has been spoken over her, against her, to her, about her, or even by her. There are word curses that tried to attach and take root, but they're not true. So right now, we ask you, in your holiness, to consider these words. Pour the blood of Jesus on those words and render them null, void, powerless, and ineffective. They have no effect on her. She is no longer bound by the constraints of the world or the world's doctors. We love them and bless them. We forgive them. But she does not have to walk according to that anymore. This is her day. We declare her freedom in Jesus' name. And we all as one in unity and one accord, we believe you, Father, for perfect healing of every last thing and even the memory of it, that she won't even have to remember those diagnoses. And I'm asking that she'll never have to again say, I'm Brooke and I'm blah. Because what she's going to say is, I'm Brooke and I'm God's and I'm whole and I've been made complete. I've been healed by Jesus. And I ask that she'll never be in a position where they're making her say that stuff. In Jesus' name. And I'm just almost feeling a wound in the soul. I'm feeling like a wound in your soul where you had to hear all this stuff over and over, and there were times when you had to almost accept it to get through all the hoo-ha. So I'm going to have you do a proclamation. I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
If anyone else wants to say this, I think it's okay. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bring every diagnosis before you.
I bring every diagnosis before you.
That anyone has ever spoken over me. And I put it under the blood. That's not my diagnosis anymore. I take instead the word of the Lord over my life, which is I am healed, I'm free, I'm a new creation, I can live in a new way, I can breathe and eat in a new way, I can respond in a new way. I don't have to respond the way I used to. I'm free. In Jesus' name. Father, just let all that stuff drain out. Father, I feel like there was people that disrespected her. Just because of her life and all that she went through, but we just wash that away. We love her, we respect her, and we know she's becoming the woman of God that you've ordained her to be, and we stand in agreement with her that the day will come she is going to be used of God. She is going to help people find freedom in those very areas that were stolen from her. In Jesus' name. Kora, have you put your feet out, honey? Just stick them out. Yep. Kora toshiki. It's okay. You can cry all you want. Aga shondo rababa hoto ko shoko. From head to toe, Father. From head to toe. From head to toe. No legal right. No legal right. There's no legal right. We rescind it. Father, right now I just bring Brooke before the throne. And I call upon the blood of Jesus. I bring her before you, Father. You love her. And your mercy towards her is so wonderful. And I see the blood of Jesus and I see your gavel coming down and saying, innocent, free, healed, delivered, forgiven. And Father, right now we do ask you to render a verdict to silence the accuser and all his ways, that he can never speak those things to her again. She will never believe them again, and certainly she will never respond to them. She doesn't have to protect herself anymore because now you are her great shield and her protector. In Jesus' name. See, he is a father to you. He is the father to you. He is your protector. When you didn't have one, you didn't know that, but I feel like he wants to know he's your shield. And he said, your shield and your exceeding great reward. Amen? Okay. Yeah, Rach. So just from, I don't know your dad, but just from hearing, we know he was very broken. And he was speaking from that brokenness. So, Father, let this be Rachel's day. See, when we look at Rachel, we see a treasure. We see all these abilities. And we see the anointing. We see all kinds of things that she's not seeing. So today, Father, we want to make the trade. So I ask you, Father, to pull together every word that was spoken over her, spoken to her. It was not true. It was, God bless her dad, we love and forgive him, but the enemy actually was using him to try to damage her soul because the enemy knew who she really was. That's what really happened. So, Father, right now we take her back through her life. And I ask you, sir, even again, all the way back to conception, I ask you, sir, to consider every one of these words that has ever been spoken over her, to her, about her, or even by her. And I ask you, in your glorious mercy, to pour the blood of Jesus on every one of those words and render them null, void, powerless, and ineffective. And Rach, I'm going to have you and anyone else that wants to say this, I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus. I heard many things spoken to me that don't line up with what you say. They may not have meant it, but they lied. The enemy used that person. They didn't mean it. So I forgive them. I pray for their wholeness too. But today, right now, I take every word that was a lie against me. And I see that I believed some lies. But no more. Today, I'm taking those lies. All of them. I renounce them. Satan, you lied to me. And Rach, I'm going to have you say, it wasn't my dad, it was you, Satan. And we're all going to say, so I renounce your lies, Satan. You can't use that on me anymore. I'm today embracing the Word of God that says I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm more than a conqueror. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing can separate me from the Father's love. I'm forgiven. I'm whole. I'm complete in Him. I'm beloved of God. I'm born from above. I'm not all those things they said. And I will no longer believe that. Soul, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. You never have to accept that indictment again. You don't have to believe those lies. You can believe the Word of God, because God cannot lie. I am my Father's child. And if you're a woman, I'm going to have to say, I'm my Father's little girl. And He loves when I sit in His lap. He loves to hold me. He loves me with all my faults. And if you're a guy, I'm going to have you say, I'm God's son. He loves me. He's my true father. He respects me. He's happy about me. He placed me in the earth, and I'm His. In Jesus' name. Rachel, can you feel a difference yet? Okay. Yeah, when it comes, well, the devil's, one thing that helped me a lot, when you don't know it's the devil, you think it's just the truth. You think it's your emotions, and it's the truth, and you're just responding to this fact. When I realized that some of those things were actually an entity standing by me that I couldn't see, see, angels and devils have the ability to throw what's called the dart, like in Ephesians 6, and throw a thought in your head, and you think it's you. When I realized it was the devil, I was like, all right. And I went after him. I went for the juggler. Because, you know, you don't have to take that. It's not you. Those aren't even your emotions. He's trying to make you feel a certain way. And who's the loser? Oh, wait, he is. Who's the jerk? Oh, wait, he is. Who's the one who blew it? He is. It's not you. You're God's own. Will you make mistakes? Yeah, sure, absolutely. But you're God's treasure. And He wants you to come into a place where you so know that, that no one can ever take it from you, okay? So let me know how you're doing, and, you know, give it a week or so. Let me know how you're doing. Okay, I saw other hands, but I... Yeah, so Olivia. And by the way, let me just say this. If you... I said we'd be done at 4, I guessed. If you need to slip out, it's totally fine, okay? All right, Olivia. Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay. I was wondering if it was self-sabotage. Yeah.
Completely.
That's just, yeah,
and
okay.
I feel, and then I feel completely unmotivated,
right.
I just,
yeah.
Like, it's, I don't, I want to quit.
And does the self-sabotage come because you have this belief, I don't deserve it?
Yeah, and I don't
yeah.
think I can do it. Like,
yeah.
If it comes, then I have to say it, and I don't think I'm...
Oh, I totally get that. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, okay. Okay, so all lies, amen.
And then failing my kids too, like all of it.
No, you're not, honey. So, Father, we ask you for the proclamation, and this may be more than one thing, and it may be some walking out. Part of the things with business is God wants to help you. He wants to give you witty inventions, in other words, ideas that are above and beyond what anyone else is doing, and He wants you to succeed. So, Father, I ask you for the proclamation. Olivia, I'm going to, and anyone who wants to, I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe that I believed a lie, That somehow I don't deserve to succeed. Or that I'm destined to fail. And if it fits you, say in business. But you, Father, have ordained me to walk in victory. This business is not mine, it's yours. So right now, I renounce every lie that I won't be able to sustain it. I won't be able to walk in it, or any lie that I don't deserve it. Those are in conflict with the Word of God. So Satan, I will no longer believe those lies. Today, I'm making a decision that I'm going to let God teach me how to do business. God never fails. God will show me how to do it. He'll show me what to do and when to do it. He'll even show me when to pull back. And in Father, in Jesus' name, if in any way I tried to sabotage not knowing it, because I thought I wasn't worthy, I repent. Because it's not my business, it's yours. It's not my life, it's yours. So I receive your victory. I receive your wisdom and knowledge how to do it. I receive supernatural ideas from heaven, and I see it done. You're even going to teach me how to sustain it, and I'm going to do it by the walk of the Spirit, because it's yours, not mine, in Jesus' name. Can you feel a little release there? Yeah. Oh, okay. Is it done yet or still? Okay. Yeah, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you don't know for a few days, and you're like, oh, I'm different. It takes about 3 days. But I just want to, if there's something left over, I want to, you know, like sometimes another thing rises, and you go, oh, wait, there's this too, you know. But you guys kind of get the method, and you can actually do this. And I put a sample in the book, and if you get the e-book that'll come in the email, I actually did more of that in there. Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Okay, there's a red cross in the back of your book. Now, I was going to do this as an exercise, but I'm actually going to have you do it at home. We'll still do more if people need to here. But what you'll do is take any lie or label that's, if there's anything still bothering you, you're going to write it on the cross. And you're going to give it to God. You're going to put it on the cross under the blood, which renders it null and void. And you're going to do, you know, you can use the proclamation in the book as an example, or in the e-book, which should, I'm hoping to send that out in a day or two. And you can use that to, like, basically all you're doing is repenting of believing what the Word does not say. That's it. That's how simple it is. Okay. Hallelujah. Anything else? Anybody else? Yes. Okay, so that's more of a symptom than a lie, but I will say, I would make sure that, you know, sometimes in America we have this idol of health and exercise and diet. Now, it is godly to do, but I would make sure, like I have a friend who, she was struggling with a form of diabetes that isn't just controlled by diet, and she started getting into the natural thing, and it became like this thing. You know, it almost became, yeah, obsessive about it. And when she got over the idolatry of that, she got healed, which was a miracle. It was absolutely a miracle, because it wasn't the kind that goes away if you eat better. So I would say check that and make sure it's okay. So Father, I ask you to give us wisdom, because a lot of times with that stuff, you're describing symptoms of another problem. And so for me, what I do is I go to the Lord and say, okay, why am I behaving that way? And, you know, with diet, people would say, well, it's because you're depressed. And I'd be like, I'm like the happiest person I know. No, I mean, because I like it. I like it. And so when I found a different root, it was a different solution. So I would ask God, like, what's up with that? It may be completely not what you're thinking. Yeah. Okay, so Father, I'm just going to ask you personally for our friend here that you open that window of revelation and show her what the root is. Because what she's describing is a true symptom and it is an issue, but I think there's a root there, or it could be a lie she's believing, or, you know, I'm just asking you to reveal the root cause and let her come into complete freedom about it in Jesus' name. And bless her children in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone else? Yes.
Someone very dear to me questions my faith because I asked him to put a stronger lock on my door.
Okay. I'm not sure what to say to that. So is your issue that he questions you, or... Okay, so I would say kind of not your problem. You know, if you want a lock, get a lock. If you feel like you have unruly fear, then I would go to the Lord about that. But if you feel like it's just a lock that should be there, you know, it's kind of not your problem what other people think. Get somebody else to put the lock on. You know, because people will, you know, people. From this person?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, people, I want to be kind. People have all kinds of opinions. We saw how they treated Jesus. He said if they did it to the master, they will do it to the students. In other words, people will persecute us. They may have a point, they may not. So all I would do is I would say, that's not how they react to me, it's not my problem. Sometimes you may want to fellowship with them a little less. But what I would do is ask God, what are you saying to me about this? What are you saying to me? Is there something I need to deal with? If so, I'll deal with it. If not, you know, really, we can't worry too much. Somebody else is not free. Someone who has strongholds is going to behave that way. Not our problem. It happens, and you're not going to get them free by discussion. It won't happen. So you can pull away from them if you want, or be with them, but just don't, you know, like I'm getting a lock, get over it, you know. So I don't know if that's good advice, but that's how I do, and it's brought me great peace. Because people are never going to agree with everything we do. Okay? Hallelujah.